about it. We're going to get into just a myriad of special information that's going to help you walk through the coming onslaught of difficult days and the way to prepare for it, the way to weaponize your faith to rise up in the middle of this present evil age. I encourage you to repost this and share this right now. We've got a lot to talk about. It's going to be very important. Please repost this, share this. I know it's going to be vital for you to begin to step into a revelatory understanding. Thank you, partners, and thank you, friends, for being a part of this. I'm going to begin to walk through information that will bring you peace. Repost this. Someone needs to see it right now. Join me at the whiteboard. Let's go over to the whiteboard right now. I want you to see this. Okay, here we realize when we're looking at all of the events of the coming eschatology, we'll call it that, the study of the last things, the study of the last days, you recognize this is the dramatic timeline you're involved with, whether you believe it or know it or don't know it. You got to recognize that in this eschatology or the study of the last things, there's so much to discuss. This is talking about the Old Testament. And if you followed me for any time, you recognize we visit this sometimes just to give perspective as to what it is we're dealing with. But when you're looking at this, you realize the Old Testament involves creation, the fall, the flood, the law, the kings, the prophets, so much more, the kings, all this stuff, right? And then we go into the time where Jesus arrives, he's prophesied, the word is made flesh, the cross happens, and then we go into this age that I'm going to come back to in just a moment, the age of grace. Then at the end of that, you begin to see the rescue mission known as the parousia or the catching away of the saints, where we get new bodies, we meet the Lord in the air, we begin to have the marriage supper of the Lamb up here. And then during that time, the second coming, we return with the Lord. After this time, as we're taken up, the great tribulation breaks out. And there's 3.5 years on the front side. On this front side, there's a major time of almost peace. It's like normalcy hits the earth, and they begin to believe this guy's a good guy, meaning the Antichrist appears, and he kind of creates a form of peace, and he gets into this. And then you realize the second half, it just gets wild. He turns, and he begins to destroy everything, calls himself God, names himself above everything that's called God. And whether you are here in your belief system here or here. And why do I say 1, 2, 3? Well, because a lot of people are either pre, mid, or post. I believe the Bible shows a lot of evidence that we're going to be raptured out. That's that catch word people use. But when you talk about that, people say, that's not in the Bible. Well, the harpazo, the parousia, the catching away of the saints is in the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians 4, you recognize it's there. But then also, you realize the word rapture is a Latin word for rapturo or rapture. You recognize is there. And that's where they get the word from. But when you look at it, it just simply means this. But I don't believe it's going to be just easy, and then we're out of here, and then all this happens. When you look at it, when this happens, it's going to be so difficult that it's talking about only those who are alive, remain, and are vibrant in the Lord, who've kept oil in their lamps, are really going to participate in this catching away. This, in the Greek, is going to be like a rescue mission right before all this breaks loose on the earth. And it may not be the Great Tribulation, but as it gets closer, it might feel like the Great Tribulation when people get caught away. Now, just very quickly, because I want to talk to you about your prophetic destiny. You want to repost this. This is really vital, okay? So when we're looking at this, then after this, we're up here, we are with the Lord. We have new glorified bodies. We have the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is also where I believe the Bema seat, or where he wipes away every tear from our eyes, all that. And the second coming, we come with him, as it says in Jude or Enoch prophesied, the Lord will come with tens of thousands of his saints back during the Battle of Armageddon when war breaks out and the devil's lying and everybody comes together in the Valley of Megiddo to fight against the Lamb. Jesus returns, we come with him. All of this happens. After this, Jesus takes the beast and the false prophet, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, right? And they go
straight to the lake of fire. They just go straight into the lake of fire. He captures them. He binds them. And it's almost like they could be war criminals. He puts them on display, judges them with his mouth, defeats everybody at the Battle of Armageddon. The devil himself, Satan, is bound in hell for 1,000 years. And during this time, this 1,000-year reign, with all these things that these idiots have been doing where they're trying to induce a climate crisis by spraying things in the atmosphere, burying trees, putting stuff up in space. You're seeing more and more of this. It's just idiotic what they're doing. Jesus will come back. He's going to fix this falsified climate issue that they're inducing through their stupidity and mechanized on purpose activities. Jesus will come back, reign for 1,000 years, fix everything, restore the earth. At the end of this time, Satan is let out. Another war breaks out. He gets billions of people to come together. And then from that point, we are all surrounded. And at the last second, fire comes down from the throne of God, consumes the enemies of the Lamb, consumes them from God the Father himself. Then the great white throne judgment happens, and everybody who's never received Jesus stands before the Lord, and they are judged for their life, what they did, what they did not do, and they are judged for not receiving Jesus. So they carry the full penalty of their sin, and they are cast into hell. The devil is cast back into hell, and the entire thing one day is picked up and thrown. Hell itself is cast into the lake of fire. This is called the second death. From here, we go on into eternity future with the new heaven, new earth, angels as companions, and that is your eternal future, eternity future. Now, coming back to this, your prophetic destiny is somewhere around here. This is you. That's you right here. And all this, here you are, right here. This is you. And this is where we are in history. Because ever since the cross, we've been in the last days. Okay? It's been 2,000 years since the last days began. We're in the last of the last days right now. You could call this the church age. Some people call it the age of grace. And here we are in the last of the last days. At the end of this last days narrative, this is when we see the catching away, the parousia, all this. But during this time right here, this is what I want to talk to you about, and you need to understand this. This is where your life matters the most. What you do here is going to make all the difference for here, here, this time, this time, this time, and certainly eternity future. What you do right here. I hope you understand. So let's say your life is this. You just expand it out a little bit. Your life expands out. You begin to see that it has a span on it. And maybe your life is 100 years. Okay? Maybe you're here, here, or here in that journey. Wherever you are in the last season of your life, you have this time. Wherever it might be, whether it's here or here, but you have this time that you're working in right now. And you have a prophetic destiny. You have a prophetic destiny. In other words, a God-appointed destiny for what you're going to do for the rest of existence. And this is exciting when you think about it. So I want to give you a sobering point of view on this. What you're doing right now matters. What you're doing for the future matters. And this is so vital. I believe actually what you do here will either speed up this moment here or slow it down based on what the body of Christ does collectively during this time we have before the very end. And we are plunged into the great tribulation and all this craziness. Now, there's so much I could get into. I teach on this quite a bit, but I wanted to give you this oversight, and here's why. I want to talk to you about you. Now, let me go over here. I want to look right at you. Let me look right at you. Now, this is so important today. So very, very important. Jesus wants you to live and move and have your being. You have a prophetic destiny. You have a purpose. It's why hell has fought you so bad. Listen to me. Hell has fought you because you are called of the Lord to accomplish great and mighty exploits. You know, we're here, we do these live broadcasts every single weekday morning. I love it. It's a mandate God gave me a long time ago. And I've been doing this now for several years.
And a lot of you may or may not know this, but I had an angelic encounter. The Lord spoke to me. There was much more involved than just this, but I had an encounter. My wife, Heather, was with me, and we began to have this encounter where we were invaded and flooded by the Spirit of the Lord. And suddenly I had a voice speak to me or speak through me. And in that moment, just began to say what was going to happen. But one of the things was, and this was in 2019, and the voice said, this messenger said, I come to you from the great God Jehovah, and I'm coming to you, and there will be a turn of a tide that's coming. And you are not needed today as much as you will be needed after. You're needed more after the 2020. I thought, what in the world? He told me that. That's what I heard. And there was so much more to it. And then a confirmation came because I'd already been going live every single weekday morning at that point, or at least 5 days a week. And then this voice told me, and you must continue, and you got to prepare. There's going to be changes. There's going to be deliverances. There's going to be breakthroughs. There's going to be people getting born again. The multiple millions will be touched. And I began to get this hunger for that term, a million for a billion, reaching out to win a million souls, clear-eyed, clear-minded disciples, warriors for Jesus, so we could make a billion converts, a million disciples to get a billion converts, a million clear-eyed, clear-minded, trained warriors to go make a billion converts. And I thought, my goodness, let's make God rich and get this done. But I had this word and it began to happen. It was my prophetic destiny. The Spirit of the Lord began to minister to me and say, I need you to begin to do this because I'm going to raise up a last days remnant and you're going to call it the Red Church. The Red Church is coming. I thought, my goodness, we used to have that terminology years ago. In a prophetic ministry we had, we called it Red Church, all of that. But the Lord began to really revive that statement to me and call me to do it. And my name is Joseph. And my name in Hebrew means God shall add, and he shall add. One of the things I'm anointed to do in my prophetic destiny, and just like yourself, is I'm called to finish and bring people that have started in their destiny and get them to the finish line. It's a post-sale anointing. It's something the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me while we were driving around in the streets of Rio de Janeiro several years ago with Jason and my wife, Heather. We were there and suddenly I heard the words, I'm giving you a post-sale media production ministry. And I said, what is that? What's post-sale? What's a media production ministry? What? I don't even know how to, I'm preaching, I'm traveling. What are you talking about? I didn't even know what it meant. So I sat up in the back of the vehicle because I wasn't feeling real well because we were traveling really fast through the streets. And suddenly I sat up and said, I heard the Holy Spirit say, I'm giving you a post-sale media production ministry. I thought, okay. And then the Lord interpreted it for me later. Post-sale means this, that ships set out to sea, they set out on course, they go out and they launch out. And when they launch out, many of them start out with momentum, they get going, and yet a lot of them are running on fuel. And it looks like they've got their sails set. They looks like they got it going on, but a lot of them are going on their own effort. God has not blown wind on it, but they can have a lot of fuel and motors under the boat and get it going to a level or a distance. And suddenly, eventually, the fuel runs out. And the Lord began to show me that in the times we're living in, many people are going to run out of man-made fuel, man-made mechanisms. And yet there will be those that have wind in their sails and they will begin to continue going. They might not be as fast as the motorized vehicles once were in the beginning, but the oil change is coming and the oil change is from man's oil to the wind of God, okay? The wind of God. And these wind made vessels, God called, the wind blows where it pleases, no man knows where it comes from, no man knows where it goes, and these wind-induced vessels will be carried to their destination all the way. Post-sale, the Lord called me as a wind-bearing vessel, a vessel that goes along, is carried along by the wind of God. That's a true prophetic ministry. You set your sail and you are carried along by the Spirit of God. That's why we're unique in the prophetic. But as it's going, my calling was to go along, and anyone that was willing or that could hear would hoist their sails, and there would be an inducement from that calling, a post-sale, people that had once set sail, halfway along their journey, suddenly would be revitalized, repurposed, redirected, and I would help them, or the mandate on this ministry and calling would help people get to their destination. They'd start out, stall out, but hit their destination post-sale. Halfway through the journey, post, after they've already started their journey, post-sale, already started. After that, a capturing of that vessel, a helping of that vessel, and taking it to its destination. It's really a prophetic apostolic thing God called me to. And to do it through media, that's of course why we talk about a million for a million to raise up a billion. Now let me talk about your role in the prophetic destiny of God. I want to go to the scripture here in Matthew 25, verse 14. Come to the board with me if you would. In Matthew 25, verse 14, look at this. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." Now, this is really vital. I want you to please repost this right now. Somebody start commenting. As you guys are commenting, somebody comment going red. And if you're choosing, like I know as we're doing this, people are being spoken to that maybe you want to partner, stand with the ministry. If you want to partner today, would you comment right in the feed, "I'm partnering," and then go to josephz.com so we can welcome you, so people can say, "Welcome to the partner family." But let's keep going. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." Verse 14, now 15. "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2. And to another, 1, 5, 2, 1. That's interesting. I have a teaching called the 521, which is not this same number, but it is interesting, almost like a numerical acronym, that it's 521. And I call the body of Christ numerically the 521. Whole nother teaching. I'll get into that another time. But you recognize 2, another 2, another 1, and each according to his own ability. I want you to pay very close attention to own ability. The own ability is when you begin to understand God appoints things for you according to what you have an ability for. In other words, how he made you, how he designed you. That's why in your own ability, you must be with your tribe, be with the right people, know where you're called to be. You know, a lot of people think that they're just running around doing whatever they want. They go get a job of their choice wherever they want to be. And I got to tell you, that is not God's best for you. That's not how you're appointed to live. In your own ability, meaning according to your own ability, means that ability needs to be placed in your grace lane. Romans chapter 12, Paul said, "By the grace given to me, I say to you," he was saying, "I have a grace to do something and I know my position in the body of Christ." And you need to know your position in the body of Christ. And so that's according to your own ability. If you don't have your tribe, you won't have your calling to its full potential. You won't have the right people. And neither will your kids. Neither will your family. You got to go where God calls you to be. So vital, okay? Your own ability. "And immediately he went on a journey." So he gave each according to their ability. Now, verse 16. "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Verse 17. "And likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more also." Verse 18. "But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." What? Notice it's talking about money. Did you know that what you do with the resources God gives you, sowing them, reaping, doing the things God called you to do, is really part of the kingdom? He wants you to step into all he has for you, and he wants you to be a productive servant with money. In commerce, business, a capitalistic mindset, a way of beginning to build and be inventive, creating and just creating wealth and revenue. It's important. Or just simply being productive with resources. Money is the beginning of being trustworthy with gifts, spiritual things. But let's continue. It says, "With he hid his Lord's money." Verse 19, "After a long time." That's interesting. Interesting, it says a long time. "The Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them." Settled accounts. Verse 20. "So he had received 5 talents. He who had received 5 talents came and bought 5 other talents, brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.'" Verse 21. "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Verse 22. "He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.'" They were productive according to what their ability was. Verse 23, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 24, then he who had received the one talent. Now it's interesting, and I want to make a note of this. The one who received one, it's interesting because the Lord gave to each one according to his ability. He knew all this guy could handle was one, but as having one, the Lord expected him to produce one more. You follow? The one who produced five more. The one who produced two, or was given two, produced two more. And he was expected to produce, if you follow that train of logic, one more. And the Lord is pleased with the first two, and this one had a different encounter. This is important. Who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I want you to pay very close attention to these words. Lord, I knew you. I knew you to be a hard man. Another way you could say this is, I believed this about you. I have a perception of you. This is how I see you. Do you understand? I knew you this way. Now look at the Lord's response. Verse 25. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Here's my life back to you. I'm alive. Verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Wow. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. I just find it interesting. Now, you could take this a number of ways, but he's saying, you knew me in that way, huh? That's how you view me? So you, out of fear, said, I'm a hard man. I'm difficult. You viewed your Lord as difficult, so you hid your talent in the ground. Religion does that to people. Religion causes people to curl up and shrink back and not live freely, lightly, exploring the space, doing what they know to do with what they have. Religion will cause people to shrink back. Your prophetic destiny is to double what you have. According to this scripture, your prophetic destiny is whatever God gave you to be productive in it. John 15, I call you to bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. God is glorified by you bearing much fruit. Did you know that? Much fruit. And that's talking about spiritual things. It's talking about in the natural. In the natural. God gets no glory out of us failing unless he calls us to decrease to have him increase. But that's a heart posture more than anything else. If there's a decrease or a pruning, part of it is to posture your heart so you're teachable, trainable, and usable. Okay? But ultimately, God wants you to thrive. You're not going to be in a perpetual pruning stage where you get to the point where there's nothing left and he cuts the root off. No, God prunes so you can bear more fruit. He wants you to bloom. If you're getting pruned, you're going to bloom. Your prophetic destiny is to produce, to create, to leave more than you came with. Okay? Now look at this. You wicked, lazy servant, you knew I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You knew me this way. You're misjudging me. That's what the Lord's saying. Verse 27. So you ought to have then deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with at least something, with some interest. You should have done something. If you don't know what to do, produce something. If you don't know what to do, get a job, make money, do something, serve at a church, do something. But instead, he's like, nope, I hid, because I didn't want to make a mistake. You're hard. Verse 28, therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. That's strong. Now, 10 is deca, Decapolis, you get into all this stuff, and there's something about ruling in 10. 10 represents territory. 10, cities, territories, lands. 10, interesting. Verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given to him, and he who has abundance, for everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. But that's a posture of the heart. This guy's not a victim here. This guy misjudged the Lord with religion. He injected his philosophy on the Lord. Verse 30. and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now there's a whole teaching, you know, my dear friend Rick Renner teaches on this. I love it. But it talks about how they would put people outside the city gates and it would be dark out there. And they'd leave them out there overnight bound, and lions would go around, and they would bite at them. And the gnashing of teeth was talking about biting. That's what it was talking about. Or they would be so terrified, they'd gnash their teeth. It's a wild understanding. But that's what's going on, verse 30. So that they basically were put out there for that season. Verse 31, please. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Now there's a lot to learn here. Now here's my point. Jesus is coming back and you have a prophetic destiny. Let's go back to the board just for a brief moment here. You have a prophetic destiny. Whatever God's given you to do, do it with all your might. Step into it with all your might. God wants you to win during this time more than you do. This should make you bold, not afraid. This should make you encouraged. This should make you want to rise up and meet this contention, this fight that we have coming at us. You should be rising up and meeting it. You can do this. God's marked you this way. I don't care if you're elderly and single. I don't care if you're young and single. If you're middle-aged and you have children, you're trying to figure this out. Wherever you are in the journey, maybe you're widowed, maybe you're alone, maybe you had been through a divorce, maybe somebody passed on. I am here to tell you, maybe you haven't even ever been married yet, or maybe you're looking for a job. You're trying to figure out your destiny. Listen to me. Be faithful with what you have in front of you. Serve and serve some more. Serve and serve some more. And God will be pleased as you bring him the efforts, which is your faith. Produce. When God began to speak to me, I'm going to come over here and talk to you. I want to look right at you. I love looking at you. I appreciate your comments. You guys are the best. Amen. Great comments. When God called me, I told him, "I'll never quit on you, sir. If you let me serve your people, I'm never going to quit on you." And there was years where when Heather and I would minister in places and locations, we would stay sometimes, no exaggeration, till midnight, 1 a.m. Sometimes we'd even see the sun come up as we were praying over people. No exaggeration. We used to joke in the old ministry, the later it gets, the earlier it gets. Now, we don't quite do that the same today because I had the Lord kind of change some things and deal with me in a healthy way so I didn't die young. He was saying, "Joseph, I need you to live, and you're beating your body up too hard. I didn't call you to go out there and just die. I need longevity. I need quality, not just quantity out of you. Quality, reproduce yourself, start doing media." And so we used to pray for people, though, till all night. We'd stay and all the preachers go home. "Oh, the Spirit's left the room." I'd be like, "Spirit, I haven't left the room. I'm still here. Holy Ghost is in me. I'm here to minister to these people. I'm a servant of these people." And we would do that. I told the Lord, "I'll never quit on you." And we haven't. And again today, I believe that when you begin to be faithful, and you take it so serious. When I got born again, many of you may not know this, but you know, I was asked to leave my home at 13 years old because I got born again. And one side of the family did not like that very much. 13 years old, had to go live with aunts and uncles and friends and things like that. My mother was great and had to go live in those places. And it was good. It was a good experience. But people said, "Were you depressed? Did you have issues?" Well, no, because I read the whole New Testament like once a week and it just kept renewing my mind so much, I didn't even realize I was missing out. Because I wasn't. Some people that had it all, I thought, "Man, I feel bad for you. I'm living the dream. I got Jesus." And I had a huge inheritance, hundreds and hundreds of acres. And that's why I believe today also this ministry, He Shall Add, post-sale, I believe that we're going to have thousands of acres. I really do. For the sake of the gospel, for ministry hubs, for people, for the gospel all over the world. And, you know, I believe that there's people that will donate and sow ministry hubs or sow